This is KUT. Since early voting started last week, there's been a lot of confusion about the Texas voter ID law. This summer, a court ordered the state to change the law and to spend $2.5 million educating voters about those changes. But voting rights groups say that last part hasn't gone so well. As KUT's Ashley Lopez reports, the language used to explain the changes might be part of the problem.
It's not just voters who are confused about the voter ID rules. It's poll workers, too. And there are a lot of reasons this could be happening. Out of all the possible explanations, I'm going to focus on one, though: language. If you look up Texas voter ID rules online, the first thing you'll probably be directed to is the state's webpage on this. At the top, there's this paragraph explaining the voter ID law. I'll have John Flynn, one of the interns in our newsroom, read just one sentence from it.
Voters who do not possess an acceptable form of photo identification and cannot obtain one of the forms of acceptable photo identification listed below due to a reasonable impediment may present a supporting form of identification and execute a reasonable impediment declaration, noting the voter's reasonable impediment to obtaining an acceptable form of photo identification and stating that the voter is the same person on the presented supporting form of identification.
Yeah. Did you follow that? If you didn't, don't worry. I ran that paragraph through a readability meter. Turns out it's written at a 20th grade reading level, so it's hard to follow for a lot of people. Parts of this language are found on other voter education materials, including posters hanging in polling places. And I wondered if this might be contributing to the confusion about voter ID in Texas. So I asked this guy about it.
This is Brian Birkenstock.
Birkenstock is with the Center for Plain Language. Yes, this is a real organization, but I'll have him describe what it is.
Well, the Center for Plain Language is awesome. That's what it is. I always like to tell people that we reduce more headaches every year than Tylenol does. And that's because we try to help government and private businesses communicate more simply and clearly.
I asked Birkenstock to give me his professional opinion on how the state of Texas explains stuff on that webpage. Here's what he thinks.
I wouldn't say this is unusual or anything. And, you know, for the most part, I think people are doing it the way they've always done it.
Birkenstock says when Texas officials used words like execute when they meant sign or said possess when they meant have, it tends to throw people off.
But it's a standard kind of legal or, you know, government word to use, but that doesn't mean that it's the best or the smartest thing to use.
Birkenstock says the state could have used simpler language. They also could have just explained some of the complicated terms. Like when they said reasonable impediment, they could have just given examples, like maybe you lost your ID, that kind of thing. And to be fair, I did find one piece of voter education material that did all that. That's the TV ad the state was required by court to air.
If you've been voting with an approved photo ID, like your Texas driver license, keep that up. If you can't reasonably obtain an approved ID, now you can sign a form explaining why and show an approved document, like your utility bill.
Big difference, right? Unfortunately, the reach for this ad wasn't that wide. Grace Shemaine with the League of Women Voters of Texas has been looking at state and county websites to make sure the information there is accurate and understandable. She says that's where a lot of people have been and will be getting their information.
Well, it's important that when we present information to voters in Texas that they are able to understand it. And there's a lot of voters out there who maybe just have a high school degree.
And Jermaine says those voters most likely had a hard time understanding a lot of the voter ID information.
Well, I think it has been somewhat confusing, even though it's not that confusing.
That's Secretary of State Carlos Cascos. He's been tasked with taking care of all of this. He says he's been trying to break things down as simply as possible when he talks to folks about the new rules. But Cascos explains he also has to keep things in line with what a judge is telling the state to do.
We've been doing our best in trying to disseminate accurate information in compliance with the court order.
Voting rights advocates say the state also missed another opportunity here. They could have partnered with outside groups.
We think that the state could have done a lot more to engage other advocacy groups and state advocacy groups on the issue.
That's Zenén Jaimes Perez with the nonprofit Texas Civil Rights Project.
There was hardly any time or hardly any outreach that the state did to organizations like ours or other organizations that do work with voters about what is the best language to be able to do it.
That's why the Texas Civil Rights Project helped launch a media campaign this week aimed at clearing up some of the confusion ahead of Election Day. And I'll let Brian Birkenstock with the Center for Plain Language make the last point on all of this. He says this issue of simple language doesn't just affect people who maybe aren't as educated as others. It affects almost everyone. Birkenstock says complicated legalese is also a barrier for highly educated people who maybe learned English as a second language.
And then the other group is just that And I actually think this is the biggest group. It's the people who can read well, who are educated, who read a lot, but, you know, we're just really, really busy.
Bergestock says most people don't have the time to sit there and figure this stuff out. And when it comes to something as essential as voting, officials should not rely on the hope that they do have that time. Ashley Lopez, KUT News.